I'm John Robb, and you're listening to HereManchester.com, a series of 10 audio portraits exploring the rich and varied history of Manchester, from the towpath of the Rochdale Canal that cuts through the heart of one of the greatest cities in the world. One of the coolest things Manchester is famous for is a real tradition of political and cultural radicalism, promoting everything from free trade to vegetarianism. Just up Oxford Road from the canal is Petersfield, where on the 16th of August 1819, thousands gathered to demand electoral reform. 15 protesters were killed by the rampaging cavalry in an event now known as the Peterloo Massacre. I met up with Jonathan Schofield, author of the City Life Guide to Manchester, in Albert Square, just by the Town Hall.
Radicalism is part of the city, and it's inevitably part of the city. Asa Briggs, the historian, called us the least aristocratic city in the UK. Because of that, there's far freer air, I suppose, cultural air around here. Peterloo, yeah, it was a beginning in many respects, although there had been things earlier, such as the vegetarian movement, which began in 1809 in Salford, when a preacher called Cowherd, which is hilarious, persuaded his congregation to give up meat and alcohol. And then we had the Peterloo Massacre, and then we got loads of different things. We were the first people to really exploit the libraries, the public libraries, which came along in the 1840s, to give people a chance, give people a leg up. You know, you can educate yourself now. We'll provide the books and materials, and you can try and educate yourself. There was a secular education movement, so it was free of religion. There was an anti-death penalty movement based in Manchester in the 1850s, which is quite surprising.
So in many ways, it was like the California of the 19th century.
It's a brilliant analogy, because we were a very new world. Almost right from the beginning of the 19th century, we were a proto-new world city, so therefore we didn't have to bother about that. Of course, money always mattered. You know, that would always matter. But within that containment field that was Greater Manchester, in a way, you could have this little bubbling ferment of ideas coming up.
Is this what attracted Marx and Engels here? Or was it just because purely Engels had a mill here anyway?
It was one of the weirdest coincidences in history, that. Friedrich Engels' father was in partnership with a Dutch guy who had a factory here. He wanted to take him out of Germany because he was getting these radical ideas in Germany, and sent him to the wrong place in the world. Marx and Engels both liked to drink. Engels, in particular, is a charming character in many respects. I just claim for any old pub that it definitely had Marx and Engels in there. Britain's Protection, right by Rochdale Canal, you know, just round the corner from it. Oh, God, to have. They've got to have been in there. Like New Order later on.
Yeah, it was there.
So yeah, Marx, Engels, yeah. New Order.
One of the great radical movements was that of the suffragettes, who successfully fought to win the vote for women. The campaign had all been very polite till a public meeting at the Free Trade Hall in 1905 saw suffragettes, including members of their most famous clan, the Pankhursts, heckle the great and the good, including Winston Churchill. The Pankhursts are very much part of the fabric of Manchester radicalism, and I'm meeting Naomi Buckley from the Pankhurst Centre, just off Oxford Road, which played a huge part of Manchester's radical history, to get a better idea of their contribution.
Well, they were very much a Manchester family. There was Emmeline, the mother, Christabel, Sylvia and Adela, her daughters. She had two sons and they died. The Pankhurst men didn't do very well. They died quite early on, and her husband died also. They were all from Manchester, and Emmeline was originally from Moss Side, from quite a wealthy, middle class, you know, privileged background. She wasn't poor like most of Manchester was back then.
But there was quite a few working class suffragettes whose names haven't gone down history as much as her as well.
Yeah, Annie Kenny being one. She was from Oldham. She worked in a mill since she was 9 years old. I think she was one of a very large family. Very, very, very poor. And she's like, you know, a shining example of how someone who had to work all those long, hard hours actually found the time. She unionised where she worked. She was involved in the Independent Labour Party, also from the Northwest.
The morning weary factory girls, I'll have you understand, I'm going to leave the factory and return to my own land. No more I'll lay my bobbins up, no more I'll take them down, no more I'll clean my dirty work, for I'm going out of town.
Oh, so what happened to the radical impulse of Manchester? Is it still here, or has it just fizzled out?
The political activism that Manchester saw in the 19th century and 18th century, it was direct action. It was people getting involved in protests, chaining themselves to things, burning things down. Nowadays, I don't think you see so much of that in Manchester. The discontent and radicalism, I think, comes out more in creative means in Manchester nowadays. I think that's why we have such a succession of successful music and artists and cultural influences, but it's not directed at politics anymore, because I think there's a lot of disillusionment, whereas in the 19th century, you felt if you burned enough things down, you could change it. The key figures that initiated the movement were all from Manchester. They were all local women. They had the support of Manchester men, which gave them power. The radicalism started in Manchester, and the living monuments, the buildings that they frequented, are still here for you to see. The Free Trade Hall has got to be one, even though it doesn't have a blue plaque up, it has one for Peterloo, but that's where this meeting, where the radicalism and, you know, the sort of violent aspect of the suffragette movement came to the forefront. The Pankhurst Centre is where the first meeting of the suffragette movement was held, the Women's Social and Political Union, on Nelson Street. And then you've got to think Oxford Road is just a living monument, if you like, because this is where all the marches went on. Down Oxford Road, you've got from Peterloo to the suffragette movement to the Anti-Corn Law League marches all along Oxford Road, and it really is the Avenue of Giants.
We've always been brassy, chippy, loudmouth, bolshy people, and I think that is part and parcel of the heritage. So naturally, Manchester still very much is a city not having that old snobby hierarchy like still places do in other parts of the UK, Edinburgh maybe, London. I still think we've got it, and it does manifest itself from time to time, whether that be in music or actual pure politics.
If you've enjoyed this programme, why not venture further along the Rochdale Canal? Discover more portraits of our magnificent city at heremanchester.com.